Welcome, everyone, to the MVA on Get with Visual Studio. My name's Stephen Borg.
And I'm James Tupper.
And we're going to spend about a day with you on Get, both in Visual Studio and outside of Visual Studio. So let's jump right to the slides. Are you ready, James?
Yeah.
All right. Using Get with Visual Studio 2013. James?
So I'm James Tupper. I'm an ALM consultant at Northwest Cadence. A couple things about me. I coach Bellevue lacrosse. 7th and 8th graders at Bellevue lacrosse. Absolutely love it. I also play, but I really, really enjoy coaching. I built the courseware here for this Git presentation, as well as we do training from Northwest Cadence. I kind of grew up loving electronics, and I actually did most of my undergraduates in electronics, microelectronics, circuit design, that sort of stuff. And I like to focus my job on finding the right solution for every scenario, because one size does not fit all.
And what about your Twitter address thingy up there?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter, or Tweeter, as Steve says, at James Tupper, just my name, yeah.
Perfect. My name's Stephen Borg. My Twitter address is also right up here, at Stephen Borg. Please feel free to tweet to either of us if you have questions, comments, etc. Also, and probably more important, is to focus your questions inside the Q&A panel. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But those Twitter addresses are available for you. I'm the co-founder and strategist at Northwest Cadence. And been an ALM MVP for since 2005. So that's showing my age there. Really enjoy Git. Absolutely fell in love with Git as a version control system. Was overjoyed when Microsoft brought it into the fold and made it a first-class citizen of Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Online. So I'm very excited to come in and talk to you about Git. James is most definitely the expert on Git here today, but I love it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I enjoy focusing on teamwork, the delivery of value. I think that this particular session, these ALM Wednesdays, are something that I really appreciate being able to be part of. It's a good group of sessions covering a lot of wide range of really interesting things. So we already covered Kanban. I've got great feedback on that one. I'm looking forward to this Git one. Mm-hmm. And a couple more that are coming. There's a Lean session and an Enterprise Agility session. And then right after that, there's a release management one. So they just keep coming.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I'm excited for him.
And lastly, I really enjoy presenting with James. He's a great guy to present with, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited as well.
So here's our outline. If we go back to the screens, using Kanban, this with Visual Studio, first we're going to talk about you choosing the right version control system for you. Git may not be the right system. Number two, we'll look at installing and configuring Git, and we're going to do that right with you. If you don't have Git installed and you're running on a Windows platform, I encourage you to just follow along with us. We're going to go slow enough. Basically, James is going to walk me through how I should install Git on my Windows box. Mm-hmm. The third module is a fairly short module. This is Git basics, and we're not even introducing any of the fundamental concepts yet. What are we going to do in Git basics?
We're going to be doing like cloning repos, checking in or committing. It depends on it is committing, but depending on what version control system you're coming from, it may make more sense to do check-ins. Yeah. Pushing out to a public repository, sharing code with one another, just basically how to use Git in a basic format so that you can actually contribute code.
Absolutely. So by the end of session three, you should be able to fire up either a command line or Visual Studio and simply work with a Git project without understanding any of the deeper fundamentals of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, however, without the fundamentals, you're going to get confused and you're going to walk away, I'd argue, not liking Git.
Yeah.
So my recommendation to you is don't leave after session three, but stick around for session four. Session four is by far the longest session, and it's the fundamentals of Git. And we're not going to be playing in Visual Studio at that point. We're going to go straight to the command line and later come into Visual Studio in the next session. And the reason why we're staying inside of the command line is there's so much to Git to understand, and the command line is very simple, and it allows us to kind of explore a variety of different things. I think this is the most important session of the day. Mm-hmm. Once we get through this session, you'll have a basic understanding of Git, and we can move into Git inside of Visual Studio, which is chapter 5.
Yeah. And I personally like to say, learn how to use Git before you go into Visual Studio. I've had a couple of coworkers and friends try to use the Git plugin, and once they understand Git, it makes a lot more sense to use the Git plugin within Visual Studio.
I 100% agree. I watch people try to learn Git from Visual Studio, and they've ended up coming away saying, "Ah, Git just stinks. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a horrible version control system." And then those same people, when you say, whoa, back up, let's learn the fundamentals, let's take it from the command line, they come back and become fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
They
absolutely love it.
It's mm-hmm. it's a beautiful version control system. And then we'll move on beyond Visual Studio to Git workflows. Now, in a traditional version control system, workflows are centralized. I shouldn't say traditional,
but
historical or a centralized version control repository. You're going to be just kind of checking up into that repository. And there's a very simple workflow there. You're going to go to a branch and then promote through the branches. As a distributed version control system, we have a lot more options. So we're going to talk through those options, as well as some of the ideas we've found to make it easier to contribute to your particular project with Git. And last, 7, fix your Git. This is where we're going to go into doing things like rewriting history in Git and going through some of the more complicated things that you might need to do. Cherry picking merges. There's some cool stuff in that section that we're going to get to. More of the advanced concepts by the time we get there, and then we wrap.
Yep.
James, anything to add on this session?
No, sounds great.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's set some expectations. And I hate to keep coming back to slides, but we're going to get to demos as we get here. But slides are as we set the expectation. Target audience for this is developers, testers, anybody needing lightweight version control system. You should have some experience with technology. If you're coming in and you're not familiar with, like version control, or you don't know how to work Windows very well, you will struggle. Our objectives here, notice the first objective is not using Git with Visual Studio, even though that's the title.
Yep.
Our first objective is to leave people understanding Git, so that when you walk out of here, you go, I get Git.
I understand it.
Yeah, I understand Git. It's probably better
it.
Than Git.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to probably hear a lot of that. Git and Gits, that's very close. We'll learn to work with Git with and without Visual Studio. Now, there are things you cannot do in Visual Studio, but that you can do in Git at the command line. And Visual Studio supports it, as well as Visual Studio Online and Team Foundation Server. And one of our other objectives is to kind of appreciate the Git mindset. There's a little bit of a difference here with Git, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Suggested prerequisites, definitely you should have experience with file systems. In other words, you should understand kind of your file system. I say that almost tongue-in-cheek. Everyone here should get that. It's not a huge prerequisite, but the Git version control system feels a little bit more file system-y sometimes than you might find with other version control systems. We'll talk about that when we get there. You should have some experience with a version control system. Although we're not going to start at an advanced level, you need to know why version control systems exist. We're not going to be diving into kind of the reasons why you have a version control system at all. We're just going to jump into assuming that you understand why you need version control and then talking about how Git satisfies that. And lastly, you should have some experience with
directed
acyclic graph theory. I'm totally kidding. Git is based on directed acyclic graphs, and James can talk to you about that if you have any deeper advanced questions. Go ahead and throw them in the Q&A panel. Absolutely kidding. You're not going to need experience in acyclic graph theory. So, yep. Directed acyclic
there
graph theory.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say DAG, I guess.
DAG,
it's easier.
Yeah.
This is the MVA community. We're here as an MVA presenting with the Microsoft Virtual Academy. It is a free online learning tool tailored for IT pros and developers. Man, they have got so much stuff out there. It's absolutely incredible. I didn't know about the MVA until I presented one.
Yeah, no,
It was
absolutely
crazy.
Same.
Yeah, yep. And then, and now I pop in and I found, like, just recently I took a BI one. There was one on Power BI. Jumped in. It was 8 hours of absolutely wonderful content. Picked it up. Learned an awful lot. I was really impressed.
Yeah,
good content. Good quality content. There are over 1 million registered users. Actually,
I don't think that's right anymore.
That's not right anymore. Yeah, it's we saw 1.7 million registered users and heard people mumbles that it might hit 1.8.
Yeah.
I think that's because of the Lean Kanban MVA start that happened last week. That probably brought it up from that 1 to 1.7.
I don't know.
It's 4 million. We're hearing
4 million.
4 million
okay.
Because of
yep.
But really, it's a place to find up to date. Quality content on Microsoft products, as well as this series, ALM Wednesdays, which is a little bit different. The goal at ALM Wednesdays is not just Microsoft technologies, but to talk more broadly about things like Git, potentially, that span beyond Visual Studio and come from the open source community, not just a Microsoft product, as well as practices and other things for application lifecycle management, like Lean, Kanban, bringing people into this continuous delivery model. All those things are what we'll talk about in these ALM Wednesdays. So definitely encourage you to stick around for not just this one, which is more technically focused, but some of the ones that are process focused.
Yeah, outside of the tools.
Yeah, outside of the tools.
Yep.
Earn while you learn. There's a couple places I want you to go. You get 50 MVA points for free by simply going to this aka.ms WAC MVA voucher site. There's a little funky, when you get there, a little funky thing on the right-hand side. Scroll down a little bit, apply voucher, click that. And the code for today is GitVS2013. GitVS2013.
Yep.
It expires about a month from now.
Yep.
So you can watch this.
You have some time.
You have some time, exactly. And for those people who happen to be watching this online. James?
Well, let's go ahead and get started then. So choosing the right version control. There are a lot of version control systems out there currently. CVS is one, Subversion, Mercurial, Bazaar, TFVC, VSS, and Git. Some more popular than others, some are newer than others, so on and so forth. So how do you know which one to choose? And it really depends not just on your workflow, but how you're going to be working with your team, how they're going to be contributing, what type of workflow you guys want to have, how you want to set things up, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and also you may want to consider things like just what are the limitations in your version control system and how old are they? Because like CVS, ancient version control system. We find we migrate a lot of people off of CVS into something else. A Subversion kind of really popular and took over the open source community not long ago. Several years ago, but it really got popular. VSS in here, Visual Source Safe. I'm going to give a shout out to Brian Harry and Visual Source Safe team. In its day, it was pretty advanced version control. It was one of the first visual version control systems, thus Visual Source Safe, and actually took over the largest part of the market for quite a while. Today, we look at Visual Source Safe and would certainly not recommend it for any production environment. It's grown long in the tooth. It's shown its age, but it had a good long run. Team Foundation version control, extraordinarily powerful, very good version control system. Git as well.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah, and while we're talking Git and Mercurial, we ought to talk that they've fought a little bit.
Yeah.
A couple of years
ago. They came about around the same time as
they
well.
They did. Mm-hmm. And they really fought it out for a while in the Windows community as which was going to take over. Mercurial felt a little bit easier to use in Windows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Git used to be pretty hard to install on Windows.
Yeah.
And based on that, there was some struggle between those two. And eventually, however, sorry to say, Mercurial fans, I think Git has become much more of the de facto standard in both the open source community and now even in the Microsoft community as a version control system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're here talking about Git today and not Mercurial. Centralized version control systems. I'm older than you. Let me talk this one, James, because this is something that it's been around for ages.
Were you around before they had these?
Yeah, I was around before they had these. But basically, in a centralized version control system where you have locking, if you take a look here, the history is stored at a central server, and it's designated here in purple. And then when somebody wants to check out a file, they go and they get the file, and they send a signal to the server and say, I'm working on this file. Quit it. Don't let anybody else work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is able to participate in that file. Mm-hmm. This is Visual Source Safe in its earliest incarnations. It's a lot of popular systems at that point. Very, very commonly used like that. We've moved well beyond that. Most version control systems are no longer locking, but instead are merging. So this is a centralized version control system based on merge. The history is kept in the same place as a central repository, but now we can merge. Multiple people can check it out,
and you don't have to lock the file anymore.
Which
is a big issue if you guys want to, if two people want to contribute to the same file just in different locations.
Exactly, it's a wonderful way to do it. Now the interesting thing about centralized version control systems with the ability to not lock, is that now two people work on the same thing, we have to now merge. We have to have good merge tools in order to get in and use these.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking needing to merge where before we didn't. So there's a power of centralized version control systems that you may not find in distributed ones, or that you don't. And you don't find in some centralized ones as well, which is the ability to lock files if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's common courtesy. Right. If I'm working in some XML configuration file that's behind the scenes and I'm dragging and dropping a UI around, like in WPF, I don't want to have to make all those changes and have James making changes at the same time and then him having to merge those. It's almost impossible to do those merges.
Mm-hmm.
So some tools, like Team Foundation Version Control, if you're using server workspaces, not local workspaces, they allow me to lock those files so that James cannot edit those. So it can be done as a courtesy for James.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find in tools like Git, that type of locking is not even possible. And in fact, a lot of centralized version control systems like Subversion also don't allow that form of locking.
Mm-hmm.
So only a few do. I think it's a powerful tool when you need it, but not used enough this to really justify sticking with that
not
version.
Not absolutely
controls.
Necessary.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now let's take a look at distributed version control. And James, your youth and experience, I'll pass it your direction.
So distributed version control systems are a little bit different. They're quite a bit different, really. Rather than storing the history of the version control in one location, we now have it split across every location. So anyone that wants to contribute to that version control system actually has the entire full history local to their computers. There's a lot of advantages to this, such as a lot less communication with the server to do almost anything, right? The only server communication that you really need is to get fetch new stuff, right? If someone put new stuff out there, or to push new stuff out. Branching, committing, looking at the history, trying to go back, looking at previous commits is all done locally now. So it's really, really fast. We don't have to worry about connecting to the server. We can completely do versioning without a server connection and locally to our computer. Another great thing is that now I can add someone else's computer as a public repository and push and pull code from there and share code like that rather than having to push it to a server.
So are you saying that you and I could share code privately without dealing with a centralized server?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a huge difference that you have compared to the centralized version control systems, that you can now push and pull from any computer that has the repository on it, because it has the entire history in it.
Now, this gets into some complexity, though. So I do want to address how that history has to be stored. We'll get into this later.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, for the people writing the version control system, if you have this structure, you can't just update the file version from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, mm-hmm. because people might be editing it all over the place in different areas, and then you need to merge those changes together. And that adds some complexity for the people who had to write these. Mm-hmm. So you're not storing history the same way either.
Yeah.
It's not revision 1, revision 2, revision 3. Mm-hmm. And that can blow your mind.
Yeah.
But we'll defer the mind-blowing to a little bit later and jump back into the slides again and talk about some of those. In centralized version controls, one master copy of the project, mm-hmm. you might have several branches, but that central repository has the latest revision. Now, it only works online. I'm going to put that, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
You can edit files in Subversion offline or Team Foundation version control. You can edit them offline, but you can't create history mm-hmm. online. Offline.
Yeah.
You need to be connected to check in, check out, do those sorts of things. When we flip over to a distributed version control system, it's different. Local copy of the repository and all of its history. Branches are going to show changes. We'll get to that.
And I think another cool thing is that you can actually have local branches that aren't part of the blessed repository.
Oh,
right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful, powerful piece. If you have a local branch, you can do your own branching, your own merging, your own testing and exploration without needing to go out to a place like Team Foundation Server and ask for a separate branch. You don't mm-hmm. need that kind of permission on the server. Some tools handle that with private branches. TFS does shelving, where you could create shelving in TF version control. A little different, though, and without some of the flexibility, because it's a slightly different thing than branching.
Mm-hmm.
So. Let's do a quick comparison as we dive down into this. hard drive space required for history and centralized is no.
Definitely no.
History's on the server. I guess it requires hard drive just on the server, but not local. Distributed, you're holding all of the history locally.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the latest revision? Well, you don't know.
In distributed. Yeah, you have no idea.
Nope. You got to make the rules. Mm-hmm. Normally, someone's going to create a repository that they're going to call the blessed repository or the master or origin. You might,
origin,
whatever you're going to call it. There's mm-hmm. going to be a repository hosted somewhere. From our perspective, we're going to be hosting our blessed repository in Visual Studio Online. You could also host it in a Team Foundation server, which is a local version of VSO that also supports Git as long as you're on 2013, mm-hmm. version 2013. Where is the full history? The full history is only on the server. In centralized, distributed, it's local. We've talked about that. The full history comes online. Can you work offline? Centralized, again, we already talked about it. Yes, mm-hmm. you can kind of with editing, but you can't create history or check in and create that. With distributed version control, on the other hand, you can work completely locally, completely disconnected, and yet when you can connect, you can establish that relationship back and forth. And we'll be demonstrating that throughout the day today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast operations. It depends. There's some areas where centralized version control systems, and we don't get to talk much about them, so I want to address it now,
mm-hmm.
where centralized version control systems are actually going to be faster, even though they're dependent on a network.
Yep.
And I'll give you an example. At Northwest Cadence, we store all of our presentation materials and PowerPoints and stuff on Visual Studio Online. So we've got them all out there. We can access them at any time. But we use Team Foundation version control for that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we can go out and grab a single file from that repository and pull it down and establish a connection, or a single folder. Like, we can grab the Git folder.
Yep.
We have the Git training folder. We pull it down. We go ahead and edit stuff and check it in, check it out. We're working with that piece of the version control system, not everything.
Mm-hmm.
As we'll see in Git, we need to pull down the entire repository to work with it, which might be too heavy. We've got an awful lot of material out there. We might not want to pull it all down.
Which another thing, too, is that you may also have to change your strategy on how you structure your code or how you use those repositories with Git compared to version control systems such as TFVC. Git, you are probably going to have smaller Git repositories rather than one Git repository that holds everything.
Yeah, that's a very good point. On speed, when you're running Git locally, it's blazingly fast for virtually all operations. It feels almost instantaneous at times, with the exception of very large code bases. And I think, James, you just nailed it when you said, if we take that version control system and the whole thing, and we have it this big, giant blob, basically, it can take a long time to do commits. Or to even get status of your Git repository.
Or even checking in and out to different branches.
Exactly, or even checking in and out to different branches. That can take a long period of time if it's big or has lots of binaries. But for the most part, man, it's blazingly fast.
Yeah.
Oh, it feels instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Now, branching and merging, this is a dangerous, dangerous place. I put in centralized here, reliable, use with caution. Branches, I think, are something that people overuse. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to jump into a huge branching discussion here, but when we walk into organizations and in their centralized repository or distributed repository, they may have a code promotion strategy that's extraordinarily complex with lots and lots of branches. Whew. That means a lot of code that's work in process that's not making its way up to the mainline or where you can deploy it. What we want to do with branches is limit the number of branches so that we can get to production quickly and get our code up into production and structure our development processes in such a way that branches don't get in our way. We don't need a bunch of branches that are going to slow down our ability to push things into production. A little bit of a rant there, a little bit of a soapbox, but I strongly encourage you to look at using the world's most advanced version control branching structure if you're in a centralized repository, and that is one code line, main. You'll check out the Visual Studio, the ALM Rangers. Yep. They have guidance. They have excellent guidance out in on CodePlex, and it's how to use Team Foundation Server and VSO and a bunch of other guidance. But their guidance on version control doesn't come out and flatly say, the most complicated, the most difficult branching strategy you can have is one branch. Because you have to have a perfectly architected application.
Yep.
Now, as we move to Git, you can have a ton of branches in Git locally and work with branches, and you'll find that you're going to be branching a lot more than you do in Team Foundation version control or other centralized repositories. But is it as dangerous?
Not quite, because the way the branching works, and we'll go a lot more into this when we go to the Git fundamentals, which is where we learn a lot of the underbelly of Git. But you don't it's really easy to create and delete branches. It's very safe, very quick, and fast. And in fact, that's kind of those branches are what you want to use to do your workflow, to create your different features, your bug fixes, that sort of thing.
So you're going to see why it's not dangerous to use branches inside of Git, where it might be in other version control systems.
Yep.
And lastly, let's talk about learning curve, because I think this is an important thing that we should discuss. I centralized, relatively simple for people to grasp conceptually. Both decentralized and centralized are very easy to use if what you're doing is finding a repository, pulling in changes, pushing up your changes, just kind of that interaction, check out, check in, pull, push. If you're using that kind of really simple thing, they're both very easy to use and learn.
Yep.
When you want to understand the fundamentals and how it works, the theory behind centralized version control systems is a little bit easier to grasp than distributed.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think that taking the lens of looking at a centralized version control system and using that lens on a distributed version control system can kind of get you in trouble and confused as well.
Yep. Well, we've gone quite a ways. Let's just take a look at which are centralized, which are distributed. These are just some examples. I think it's going to be important we jump into some of the getting started with functions.
Yeah.
Just as a quick way to take a look at these, the centralized ones, Subversion, CVS, TFS, Git, Mercurial, Bazaar. There's a whole bunch of them on both sides that we haven't listed. But really want to just kind of call out the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than a demo on this one, I want to slip right into a break so we can come back in and show installing and configuring Git. I'd like it if you'd walk me through that process, James.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Excellent. So for all those out there, we're going to take a short 10-minute break. We're going to come back, and on this one, we're going to install and configure Git on a Windows box. So if you have your box, get ready, get your fingers ready to start typing, and we'll be in motion.
Yep.